ABC Radio Australia.
French President Emmanuel Macron is set to land into the southwest of the Pacific next week. His trip will begin in New Caledonia, then Papua New Guinea and Vanuatu. Macron is using these stops to outline France's Indo-Pacific strategy, which is aimed at recommitting France to the region. We're joined this morning by Denise Fisher, former senior Australian diplomat who served as Australian Consul General in Noumea. She's also authored the book, France in the South Pacific, looking at politics and power in the region. With that, I say good morning, Denise, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Agnes. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Appreciate your company this morning. I mean, first off, I want to ask, is it surprising to see President Macron making this trip to the Pacific?
It's not surprising, but it's highly significant, and you know, particularly at this time. We know that he's back home, he's got his hands full, he's very much involved in the concerns of Europe about Russia's invasion into the Ukraine. He's had protests in the street against his own reforms, and yet he's taking 6 days to come across to our region, across the other side of the world, to make these stops that you've mentioned. So, yes, it's highly, very significant, both on domestic grounds and on its France's wider regional and global ambitions.
Denise, I'd love for you to explain, for those who may not really understand, what is the actual Indo-Pacific strategy?
Well, the Indo-Pacific strategy, as we're aware, was basically articulated first by the Americans just after 2010-2011. Australia came on board with a very concerted strategic approach to both the Indo and the Pacific from 2013. It was 2018 when Mr. Macron decided to articulate France's idea of the Indo-Pacific. He came to us, and he did it in Australia, actually. He came in 2018 on his way to New Caledonia to launch its first independence referendum, you might recall. And that's when he first outlined France's involvement, engagement in an Indo-Pacific view of the world. He spent a lot of time elaborating on that when he went to Noumea in 2018 and once again when he came to Papeete in 2021. Very significantly choosing the capitals of his principal French Pacific territories to do that, because the whole basis of France's involvement in this global bi-oceanic view is based on its sovereign territory in those oceans. And of course, in the Pacific, that's New Caledonia is the preeminent of those territories.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's been 5 years since Macron was last in New Caledonia. I mean, in that time, of course, you know, the territory's had a very controversial referendum on independence, even amongst the COVID-19 outbreak, and that led to many Indigenous Kanak people boycotting that vote. So, I mean, Denise, how do you think the president will be received when he arrives in New Caledonia next week?
Well, I think he'll be received, as in so many of the Pacific Islands, with warmth and hospitality. That's the Pacific way. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But you're right to point to the serious divisions within New Caledonia. And this is one reason why he's coming. You talked about the Indo-Pacific vision. And yes, it's lynched. It's very much lynched on the Pacific presence of France, the sovereignty in France. And of course, in New Caledonia, that sovereignty is currently being questioned right now and has been for virtually since the 1960s and even a bit earlier, some would say. There were these three promised votes on independence from 2018 to 2021. The first two went extremely well, rather like the whole implementation of the accords on which they were based. The French have been remarkable, as have the Loyalists and the independence parties, in implementing compromise agreements. It's been a remarkable success story. The first two votes were impressive. But I've talked to many senior analysts and officials and senior figures in France who believe that really the third one was botched. Basically, as you say, it was timed within the depths of COVID, when the Kanak communities were suffering, you know, proportionately very large losses in their communities. And of course, there are associated cultural rights with that. And Kanak leaders had asked for it to be deferred, which it could be, up to a year. But France persisted with the vote at that time. And the Kanaks called for a boycott, which was highly successful. Almost all Kanaks boycotted that vote, analysis shows. So here he is. Since then, he's tried to call for various dialogues. The Kanak leaders did go to Paris earlier this year after having declined to participate most of last year, but they would only talk to Paris. They wouldn't talk to the loyalist opposition, and they maintain that they will not do that even now. So I think it's very highly symbolic that the president of France has decided to come personally and give his personal weight and prestige to this process. He will definitely be trying to urge further dialogue, get them around the table to look at the future in this territory, which is now, it's now not only at an impasse, it is basically in a sea of uncertainty. Its whole governance basis is in question because the statutory basis on which they were formed has now lapsed, the Namur Accord. So it's a highly important time for him. And as you say, many Kanak leaders, their view hasn't changed. They'd reject the results of that third referendum. They want another vote. They want it, if necessary, under UN oversight, and they are going to the ICJ. They're trying to take their case to International Court of Justice. So I think it's going to be difficult. We have to hope that he can come away from New Caledonia with a successful agreement for everyone to at least sit around the table together. He's certainly done his homework. There have been a couple of papers released on reviewing progress under the accords in the last couple of decades, but we must remember that, you know, in the long course of history, this is the 14th statutory change that the French are offering to New Caledonia over the last 50-60 years. Are we reverting to a type now from the 1960s and 70s where every 6 months or so there'd be another statutory offering and the independence leaders would simply reject it? So it's a difficult time, a very taut time for New Caledonia. More broadly, though, for Mr. Macron, what's also happened in the last few months, of course, have been the elections in French Polynesia, where you've had the independence leaders, independence parties trouncing the non-independence parties. So that's never happened before to this extent. And so he's acutely aware that French Polynesia too is now being administered by a different group of people. So he's really, I think we will see him talk a lot about the benefits and the protection France can offer to the two territories. And indeed, when he goes on his wider trips to Vanuatu and Papua New Guinea, that should also be interesting to see what he does there.
Yeah, you've already alluded a little bit in your answer there, Denise, but do you think he's likely to succeed with bringing together the different New Caledonia political forces and trying to restore that dialogue?
We can only hope that he will be successful. We've seen the traditional approach that every time, it was certainly the case over the first 60, in the 1970s and 80s, when France would ever offer a new statute, there'd be a kind of a carrot and stick approach. There'd be pressure put on to comply to what France wants to do. But on the other hand, there'd be a reminder of all the benefits that France brings. And we've certainly seen evidence of that in the papers that France has prepared. We've certainly seen evidence of that in the way it handled the referendum itself. So I think what we would hope Mr. Macron would do is to bring to bear the power that France has to offer its support for democracy truly to work in New Caledonia. It's only going to work if everybody in New Caledonia agrees. And the problem with the independence referendum process was that it's resulted in the polarization of those two predominant parties. And, you know, it's very difficult when these polarizations are also happen to be along ethnic lines, because it is the independence movement is largely driven by and supported by the independence Kanak people. And the one thing that the three successive referendums showed is that they are virtually united on this issue, united. So how can you have 40% of the population and that population indigenous opposed to what's being offered? So I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. I don't believe it's going to be easy, but I do understand and I respect greatly the decision by Mr. Macron personally to come and to seek to involve himself in this. I think it's a very important gesture that which local leaders will be at least aware of.
Thank you for that, Denise. Look, what I find is interesting, after his visit to New Caledonia, he's obviously heading to Vanuatu and Papua New Guinea, making this the first time a French president has probably visited the Pacific beyond those French territories. He has said personally the visits are to recommit France to the Pacific and wants to offer that French alternative, specifically because amid rising competition between US and China. I mean, what do you think he'll need to do to convince these countries that the French are an alternative and is worth considering?
Well, the first thing is, I think he's got a willing audience in the sense that the French have been very actively and productively engaged in the region, certainly since they stopped the nuclear testing in the 1990s, and since they changed their approach, both in French Polynesia and New Caledonia, to handling decolonisation concerns. There's no doubt about that. They've been much more active and constructive in the region, and I think we all in the Pacific Islands Forum, we all appreciate that. But why has he chosen Vanuatu and Papua New Guinea? It's very interesting. They're the direct neighbours of New Caledonia. They are also members of the Melanesian Spearhead Group, which we might recall is a group that was formed in the 1980s when New Caledonia was relisted with the United Nations as a non-self-governing territory, the successful intervention of the Pacific Island countries. The Melanesian Spearhead Group was formed by the Melanesian neighbours of New Caledonia specifically to support the Kanak independence movement. And obviously Vanuatu and Papua New Guinea are extremely important in that movement. But what will he be bringing? He will be bringing, I believe, a substantive, concrete, practical approach to his articulated vision of the Indo-Pacific and France's place in it. But I think he's going to have to deliver something concrete. Up till now, we have seen constructive engagement, but very little in the way of development cooperation, about $100 million a year, and that usually on the back of things that Australia's been involved in, that the region, institutions the region has set up. So certainly building on the back of what others are doing, rather than any specific huge involvement by France. They were involved in a lot of climate, they are involved in a lot of climate change support, but of course now Australia is on board with that. So he's really going to need something to distinguish France and the Europeans from these other efforts. And there is the expectation that France would do a little bit more, being these are two wealthy territories in the Pacific. And the second thing is, I think, is a long-standing desire on the part of Pacific Island Forum countries to have more access not only to the French Pacific markets in New Caledonia, these wealthy territories, but also to France and to Europe. And so far, France's activities, particularly in to do with leadership of the EU involvement in the Pacific, has been to whittle away the preferences that were established for many, many years and to substitute instead some bilateral agreements which haven't really worked so far. They've not been very successful. So I think there are expectations, concrete expectations on aid and trade. It's why not? It's fair enough for Pacific Island Forum countries to expect a bit of that. And also, I think, to build on their constructive engagement in very valuable initiatives like the FRANZ maritime surveillance, fisheries surveillance, intelligence, sharing of surveillance results, help during catastrophic events, all that sort of thing, involvement perhaps in more military, more defence training. They were already involved in defence training with both Papua New Guinea and Vanuatu, and I think we can expect to see more of that. So it will be very interesting to see what comes out of his visit. But yes, highly significant that the President of France has chosen to come in person. Courageous for him to do that, and to express support for and progress for his place in the Pacific, that France's place in the Pacific at this time.